Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Showtime!
I used the bathroom.
It was with my mouth.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. There ain't no funny duddies at a Lincoln Bath. For the show name, go direct to DLNGS.org. And ICChallengeAnalytics.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1069 of the Lincoln Tech Show. Tonight on the show we have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
And we have Dave.
Hello.
And, yes, Joel, I did get a phone.
Uh-oh.
And before I talk about it, I also want to say that I'm going to issue an apology because I was wrong. Joel, I'm sorry. I was at the mall this weekend. The first time I've been in a mall before 2020, and this mall since like 2016, because now Lillian wants to go hang out at the mall with her friends. So we were meeting one of her friends' mother's there.
Wait, is that still cool? Court.
I guess it is again, Joe, I guess it is again.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. Are you a mall walker now, Dan?
No, I'm not a mall walker. I sat on the chair for most of the time, like the 45 minutes we were in the meeting. But we met her in the food court, and what was right there at the food court was a Dairy Queen.
There you go.
And you know what? They do have a proper, and I'm putting that in quotes, banana split.
Banana split, yep.
On the menu, they do. Now, I still stand by my attestment that Dairy Queen is not like good ice cream. So I would still advocate going to your local ice cream shop for a banana split, but they do have it on there and it is the right one.
Mm-hmm.
It's the split banana with the three extrusions
sauces
of their soft serve. And then there's chocolate caramel and I believe pineapple topping on it.
Yeah,
what it looked like. So,
I mean, that sounds proper to me.
So yeah, I wouldn't get it. I wouldn't get it. It's like Dairy Queen ice cream is like McDonald's milkshakes.
Yeah,
there's something wrong with them. Like there's, I will say it tastes all right, but there's.
Did you get one?
No, I didn't get anything at Dairy Queen. You give
you
me
kept
the shit.
Yourself respect.
No, he got Popeyes.
I did. Well. Yeah, you know what? I didn't know, because then my self-respect was flown right out the window because we had come from a swim meet to meet her friends at the mall right afterwards, which was like on the opposite. Like we're talking about going from one end of another town to the opposite end of the town above me. So below me and the town above me. So all the way across to meet them for a little bit. And the plan was she was going to come to dinner with us, but then she couldn't. And they wanted to go to Olive Garden. So I had ended up at Olive Garden, which it wasn't bad, but you know,
it wasn't good either.
It
was just expensive.
I was going to say,
relatively speaking, it wasn't that bad. I mean, price-wise, it was decent. You know, it really didn't cost us much more than if we would have gone to McDonald's for the three of us, which is really messed
that's
up.
True.
Which is messed up. But that, be that as it may, yes, they do have a banana split. Now, I did get a phone, and I'll tell you what. My wife was like on Tuesday. My wife's been saying for a while, she's like, you should get a new phone. Because that charger is driving you crazy. And it was getting to the point where I would have to have it on the charger like twice a day at least to get it to charge.
How long did you live with it?
Well, it's been like 3 years. And she, and I'm like, I was agonizing over what to get. I'm like, okay, if I'm going to get a phone, it's going to be between, you know, I want to be $200, $300. What can I get? And it was like, there was the Nord N30 and there's the Moto Power G or whatever, G Power, I think it is. And then there's, like a Samsung model. And then like the Pixel, is it the 8?
So 8 or 8A?
I think it was the 7. Was like,
okay.
You can get a 7 or an 8. I can't remember which one it was, 8A, for like $100 more. I'm always like, you can go ahead and get that. And I'm like, you know, I just had the Pixel and I had such terrible, I loved it, but the charger thing, I don't know. It just like really just bad me. So I,
and considering how long it lasted, I'd have probably taken a second look.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at this and I'm like, it did. It lasted a good time, but I didn't want to go the extra $100, right? And so I had talked with you, Joel. I had talked with you, Joe. And what it was coming down to was I didn't want to get a Samsung because I didn't like the Samsungs my wife had. I never did. And it was so the Nord N30 and the Moto Power G. Or G Power 2024. Moto G Power 2024. And so reviews had the Nord N30 edging it out. Unlike every review, by a little bit, but edging out the Moto. And I was really sold on the Nord N30. And then I was looking through it and I'm like, wait a minute, it doesn't have stock Android. It has
right.
Oxygen OS. So I'm like, I'm kind of leery about like I've always had like bad, kind of close, not bad, but
well,
like,
technically,
I was looking at it like, yeah, it was the Jide OS. So it's not like a proper Android.
Right. I'm with you. Yeah.
But I did some research and I was reading it and like everybody's like, oh, Oxygen OS is great. It's like,
and isn't Oxygen about as close as you can get to stock without it being stock?
Right.
Well,
they're just like,
yeah, the thing is there's like AOSP as it stands today is so far. I mean, not even the Pixel is full stock anymore when you really think about it. Basic AOSP has had so much stripped out of it that, there really isn't anything that's as close to, I mean, the closest to stock would be Pixel, and then I would definitely say Oxygen probably.
So yeah, and that's, a lot of people were saying Oxygen is just primarily like user interface enhancements.
Right.
That they say like even edges out like just basic Android OS. So, you know, I was back towards the end. The Nord N30. And then I was like, what really kind of worries, not worries me, but bothers me is the N30 came out in what, March, I think, or June of last year, or March or something. And then the Moto Power G was out in June or March of this year. I'm probably getting the two mixed up. So the Nord N30 is going to have an upgrade or an update up to Android 14 and then security updates for the next, I think it's 3 years or whatever. I think Google does the Pixel for 5 years of OSs and then, or something. I don't know. So the Nord N30 was only going to go up to stay at 14 and it's already a year old and the Moto Power G, just came out. So it's at 14 and it's going to go up to 15. At the very least, and then 3 years after that of security updates. So I was like, oh, that kind of bums me out. Now, Joe, you had suggested go look at XDA form developers and see if there's any builds for it. And so I did. I went out looking around. Now, I might have missed something, but people were asking that same question, and as far as I could find, no, there is no build for it yet. Nobody has a build for it. Somebody had, I think they had said I said on, saw on a, was it Reddit? It might have been. They said, yeah, if you send us the phone, we'll see about getting a bill for it. And that was like a couple of months ago. And somebody's like, shit, yeah, I'll do it. And they bought it and sent it to a developer and to that guy. And the guy said, I'm sending it to a developer now. And so there might be one coming, but that's the last I heard. And there was no updates since then. So I kind of was like, that kind of bums me out because I was like really edging back to the N30, but ultimately I did get the Moto Power G.
Cool.
Now, it's my wife has a Moto. I don't know what the exact model is, but it almost looks like if you were to look at them side by side, they almost look identical. So it's a
I do want to point out one thing there. When you look for cases for the Moto line, you need to be very, very precise on the model.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did get a case, and that's what my wife had said. I did get a case. I got a case that's exactly for this model, and yeah, I saw that. And I was looking at a couple of different cases, and it was like, you know, this fits this specific model and nothing else. So yeah, absolutely. I was aware of that. So it's nice. I got it, and I went to go transfer the data between my Pixel and this, and initially it wanted to do it through the cable. And you know, that wasn't going to work. I tried to get the cable on the Pixel to stay, and it wasn't going to work, but it transferred over Wi-Fi, without a problem. It took about 20 minutes, if that. And, after that, like once I started using it, it felt a little pokey in those initial like 30 minutes to an hour, whatever, but it was still doing a lot of setup in the background and stuff. I was able to, prevent it from installing a whole bunch of other software that I didn't want. Well, it was nice that it offered to install those things. Some of the other pre-installed stuff, I was like TikTok. I don't use TikTok and some other stuff. Pandora, I got rid of that. That was no problem. So it's been really responsive, really speedy. I like the larger screen because I'm getting older. It's feels hefty. What I really appreciate, now I know that they have some enhancements to the UI on here, because stock Android does not allow you, or at least the Pixel 4a did not allow you to shake the phone to turn on the flashlight, but this does, so I know that there's some enhancements there, and that always kind of annoyed me. So it's nice to have that little thing back at least. But other than that, I mean, it's doing everything I want it to do in nice. Spades. The transfer went, you know, I haven't missed anything. But some things like weren't that you still have to go through the hoops for. Like
right.
It was weird that some things, the account information properly transferred over, right? On a lot of things, Google Authenticator was a no brainer. It just automatically, yeah. And I was good to go right from there. But like Slack didn't retain what channels I was, you know, subscribed to in there, and
now,
not subscribed to, but
weird.
Like I had to reset up Slack for my company. Like it didn't transfer over for some reason. I still had to go through setting it up.
Granted, I've never done it on Android because I have Slack on my work phone. I don't put Slack on my, I mean, I could put it on my personal phone, but I'm not going to do that. But that's odd. So yeah, you probably have a lot more storage now, compared to where you came from.
it might be equivalent. Might be equivalent or maybe just a little.
128 gigabyte? I don't remember the 4 having that much storage, but.
I don't remember what it had, but I never.
Got nice, never. Looks like it's got a nice camera on it too.
Well, that's one thing, so. What I found with regards to the camera, at least to me, like it is absolutely fine and it looks great, right? In fact, I think it even looks a little better than what I, you know, when I was using it on the Pixel, but I've been using that Pixel camera for
years,
you know, 3.5 years now. And so I'm not going to go say that it's any worse than the camera that's on here, but a lot of the reviews were like, oh, the camera isn't that great. And I'm like, good enough for me, man. I don't know what, like, what the hell people are expecting out of a camera these days.
A vegan leather back.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. Well, yeah, I don't even get to see the back anymore because I got the case on it.
No kidding.
So yeah. that was another complaint. They were saying that that material is a dust and hair magnet. So take that for what you will. It's a little, like I said, it's bigger and it's heavier than my Pixel. But yeah, there we are, man.
And OIS, it's got OIS in the camera too, which is pretty. Yeah, that's nice to have an optical image stabilization. That's cool. So
it supports wireless charging, but it didn't come with a wireless charger. So it supports 30-watt wireless charging, apparently. Yep. So
now, one thing I did with mine was I found it might be harder to find for yours, Dan, but I found a case that supports the MagSafe, which is the technically Qi2. That's what MagSafe is now. So then I have those MagSafe pucks that I bought originally to work with my work iPhone, but it works great with my phone.
What's a MagSafe?
It's basically wireless charging. Oh, it has a magnet on it so that it snaps right into the place where it needs to go.
Right. MagSafe is the technology for the magnet.
Right.
And then a MagSafe charger has the magnet to hold it in the right position.
Right. And technically, that's a part of the Qi2 spec right now, too.
Right. And I have, like, a MagSafe case on my Samsung phone. But I have to be careful what charger I use with it, because if I'm using a non-MagSafe charger and I have it in the wrong position, it's going to heat up.
Yeah.
No, it'll charge. It'll just get really hot.
Oh, wow.
The phone will?
The phone and the charger.
Mm. Oh.
Because there's metal in the way.
All right.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yep. Yeah. In fact, actually, I have the Pixel Stand, which will work with my phone, but not in the case that I have with the magnets on it. So
let me ask this question. Like, obviously I don't have a MagSafe case, right?
You can probably buy just the ring to stick on the outside of the case.
Well, I could. So, given all that, what happens if you have a MagSafe charger but not a MagSafe case?
Well, it'll work just fine. You just got to find the right position.
So, with the wireless, so what you're saying is, and that's what was going to be another question, is with the wireless charging, you have to make sure you have it on the right position. With MagSafe, it kind of locks into that position. So that's the benefit of that.
Yep.
And if you knock it off, like, it has to be in that specific spot. And if you bump it or whatever, it could lose the
really
charge.
Hot.
Oh, it would just get hot?
Yeah.
So if you don't have it on the right spot, the phone just gets hot and doesn't charge or does
charge? It'll charge. It'll show that it's charging. It's just going to get really hot.
Okay.
And then once it gets up to a certain temperature, it will stop charging, but yeah.
And catch on fire.
Possibly.
So that's, you know, another question about wireless chargers is like, I've seen them in price ranging from like $9 up to $100 or whatever. I don't know, maybe not $100, but like $30, $40, $50. Like, what's the price range that, like,
that they're
you
good?
Can get a $15 one that does 15-watt charging, and it'll work just fine.
I saw a $15 one that was like 30-watt charging.
I don't believe that is even a thing with wireless charging.
Yes,
that's what it says.
It is. It is.
With which, what? With, maybe with OnePlus, but I think they're the only one doing
pixels.
High speed.
Well, I think
Apple's doing it too now.
The specs on here said that it will do 30-watt wireless charging.
Damn.
That's what it said. Now, looking to get a 30-watt wireless charger is like, that supports up to that. It's like, you know, the question is.
That's going to be expensive.
I've seen one for $15 and I'm like, how, you know, is that really?
But it probably doesn't come with the power brick, and the power brick needs to be able to output that 30-watt.
Well, it depends. Like, here, I'm
That's
looking at one.
That's another thing I heard, too.
Yeah. I'm looking at one here, which is some Hongyi HONGYEE store. 30 watt wireless charger pad, and it looks like it comes with the brick for $13.
Yeah, that's and the one 14. I think I was talking about.
And
yeah,
that's going to get warm no matter what.
Yeah.
Warm. I not necessarily that, yeah. like super hot, but it's going to get warm no matter what.
Yeah, and that one doesn't. Oh wait, it says magnetic and metal attachment. Oh, this one specifically says magnetic and metal attachments or cards will prevent charging. So this one will not work with magnetic cases.
But you don't have the magnetic case, right?
No, I don't have the magnetic case. Well, that's the thing. I'm looking at this. And I'm like, is it? So first off, two things. I was like, is it worth getting? Or should I look at something a little, like, it's $13.99.
Personally,
looking at this, I'm like, is that like, nah, let's look somewhere else.
I would, there's two things you can look at it. All right. You can go with a lower wattage one, which just means it won't charge as fast. And like what I've done, at least with my wireless charger and where I use the wireless charger the most is right by my bed. Uh-huh. You know, because I just slap it on the charger before I crawl in, and I don't care how fast it charges.
Right.
It's always
overnight,
charged in the morning. Right.
But then my next question is, because you're right, I'm like, you know, it's not a big deal if it takes all night for it to charge, because that's when I would be charging it. The next question is, are these things like, is there compatibility issues with phones? Because I see it's like compatible devices. And I'm the phone that I have isn't listed on there.
Qi charging is a standard.
That's what I thought, but I just was, you know, I figured I'd double check because I don't pay too much attention to that.
They list that stuff there for people that are searching. For specific
brand
chargers.
That's kind of what I thought, but I just figured I'd double check.
Yep.
Look at that.
One thing I'm looking at probably buying before my next Mammoth March is,
I thought you were going to say mammogram.
No, since I have the magnetic case for mine, I am going to buy one of those battery banks that has that built into it so that I can slap that on the phone when I'm on the hike so I can keep that phone charged up. They make them all the way up to, I think the biggest I saw was like 12,000 milliamp hours. So.
Yeah, but you're better off getting like two of the smaller sized ones. And swapping, that way your phone's not, like,
actually,
huge in your pocket?
I had another thought with that, Joe. If you bought two of the smaller ones, all right, and then the other one could be plugged into a larger power bank in my pack, that way I can just swap them and keep the phone, you know, relatively charged throughout the day, you know, like when I stop at an aid station or just stop for a break. If I'm on a long hike, I can swap them if I need to.
But, I mean, is your phone really going to run out of power even on, like, if you were to do, like, a 12-hour
day
hike?
if he was using my phone, he would.
Maybe on the Mammoth March, just like, because I'm hunting, well, in, on a more, like, maybe in the Cuyahoga Valley National Park, because
yeah,
a lot of times... In a park, it's going to be hunting for signal.
Well, yeah, and if you had, like, your GPS on the entire time.
Yes.
Then,
yeah.
Okay, I can see that a little bit.
So, yeah, I mean, on the long ones. Now, when I go out to a metro park in Columbus, heck no. I mean, yeah, it's fine. You know, in fact, my Pixel 9 Pro XL has got the best battery life of any phone I've ever had.
Well, I run my phone, you know, all day, and if I'm, well, I'm usually near chargers, but when I'm not, it maybe ends up at 38% at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at least listening to audio all day long.
Right. Same here. I mean, yeah, I've got audio or a podcast going or, you know, or I'm reading a book or whatever. I read books on my phone too, but.
Yeah, the screens are big enough. You might as well.
Yeah. So, in fact, I'm working on finishing. I got to finish another book up here probably by the end of next week. But
I'm doing about a book, maybe two a day right now.
Well, this is one I would not have necessarily picked to read. It's one I'm reading for a class I got at church. It's not a bad book. It's just I wouldn't necessarily have picked this one to read, you know.
Yeah.
So, and I'm getting good stuff out of it. It's just, you know, actually, one of the things I'm thinking of doing is, a long time ago, I read the Flight of the Intruder book, and I think I'm about reading books in that Grafton series.
I have to ask, is that the book the basis for the movie, or is
correct.
That...
Correct. Okay.
I was wondering if they'd, like, base the movie on the book, or the book on the movie.
No, it's the movie on the book.
Yeah,
and
the movie on the book.
It's actually quite accurate from what was in the book. There's some things in the book that didn't make the movie, but generally it's pretty close. It's not, like, as far out as, like... Ready Player One was from its movie. Granted, I enjoy the book and I enjoy the movie for
what they are.
Basically, yeah, for what they are. You know, I'm not one of those ones that care if the book exactly matches the movie. But
the movie at least kept to the idea of the book really well.
Yes. Now will if they bring out a sequel, will that follow the Ready Player 2 book?
They seem to be taking their sweet fucking time with that.
Yeah, and so, I seriously doubt it too.
Yeah.
Sequel for what? Flight of the Intruder?
No, Ready Player One.
Oh.
And have you read the second book?
Does Flight of the Intruder
need a sequel?
I think that book is going to be a little too woke.
Yeah.
To make a proper movie that people won't boycott.
Flight of the Intruder. It already has several sequels in the books. You know, it covers the main pilot who was a pilot in flying A-6 intruders in Vietnam, and by the last book, he's like the head of the CIA. So, I mean, it's kind of, so that character has been around for a while.
Oh, I just reread Hail Mary the other day.
Oh, you know what?
Oh, that's a good book.
Oh, it is.
Flight of the Intruder is not what I thought it was. I thought we were talking about that Disney movie with that silver ship and the kid.
How did they make sequels out of that?
How did he get to Vietnam? He was a little kid in the 80s.
That's Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah, okay, Flight of the Navigator.
I was thinking the same thing.
See, you were on the same day.
Don't worry.
Well, you were too, Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that what you meant by the...
You guys need to branch out from sci-fi every once in a while. You really do.
Because when you started talking about Vietnam, I'm like, wait a minute. He's a little kid, isn't it?
Well, they were time traveling.
I guess so. But Joel's like, after he bought the Vietnam War, and they're like, what?
Yeah.
I don't think Disney's going to do that.
Well, they can.
Not for a kid's movie.
No, not for a kid's movie, no. You got to think, well, Disney was the movie company behind both Tron and Tron Legacy, so.
And aren't they supposed to be coming out with another Tron movie here soon?
That's what I have heard.
Nine Inch Nails is doing the soundtrack.
A new Tron movie?
Why not Daft Punk?
I think Nine Inch Nails would do a great job.
I'm not disagreeing, but Daft Punk would do better.
Dave's going to fight you now.
No, the Daft Punk Tron album.
Now you're down in it.
I think Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, they do a great job.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
I can tell Dave's a Nine Inch Nails fan, aren't you, Dave?
Yeah.
There we go.
Is that the first time you read Hail Mary, Joe?
I'm sorry, what?
Was that the first time you'd read Hail Mary?
No. Reread.
Okay, that's a good book.
Yeah. I like all that guy's books.
Oh, yeah.
The Martian, Artemis, and Hail Mary.
Now, I think Ryan Gosling is slated it to be in the Hail Mary movie. There's supposed to be a Hail Mary movie.
And this isn't about the Catholic prayer, right?
No.
Let's get that right. No, I read Hail Mary. I did. It's a good book.
I like all of his writings. What's that, Andy Weir?
Yeah.
Because he tries to, you know, bring science into, actual science into all of his writings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did not read Artemis, though.
I've not read it yet.
It's good. It's a little bit more drama-based than, you know, his other two books, but it's still really good.
Does it follow the theme of the other two, which you get two at first glance seemingly underqualified soul?
Not really. Like it's a little bit different. It's okay. About a girl that lives on the moon in a moon base / station where they smelt aluminum and a byproduct is oxygen, and well, they find a new product and they're trying to keep gangs essentially from taking over the moon.
Okay.
But yeah, the technology is still there. It's just not as prominent as you see in his other books.
Well, along the same lines, I went to my doctor, sleep doctor on Monday. So I walk in I see the nurse practitioner first, and I lay out my case and how I'm kind of frustrated with what the ENT has told me. So she goes and talks to my doctor, who was also there. And then he comes in and he says, did they already read, whatever he told you was wrong, because one of your studies, you had central apneas of only 16%. I'm like, well, that's not what I was told. In fact, not only was I told that my apneas were between 27 and 28%, he told me that insurance already rejected me. So that kind of surprised him. So I said, well, you guys got to work this out and, you know, get me scheduled for this surgery, you know. Or do whatever the next step is, you know, let's proceed on that. So I've got a split study scheduled in lab, that would be the October 10th. So what that is they'll do baseline first and then they'll put my mask on and then they'll, be able to, dial in the pressure. So that's not nearly as bad as what my existing one is. So no matter what happens then, if my centrals are too high in that one, and I still get rejected, then at least at that point I'll have, an idea on if I can, go in with a lower pressure and a pressure that's low enough that a portable travel style that can run off of a battery, can work for me.
Just have your entire soft palate removed.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, you know, that's not going to happen. But, you know, so...
If you're enough money at the problem, it'll happen.
I would say that's kind of good news. So, like, either way, coming out of this next study, I'll have some sort of direction so that I can at least be able to achieve what I want. Now, the question is how much would it cost me? Either way. So.
Did you get an answer to that?
Well, I know my insurance I'm not exactly sure. I may have to call them and ask because I'm actually close to my plan does have a deductible. But I'm actually like $50 away from meeting that deductible for the year, right? Like $50 or so. But up until that's met, then I think it's 80-20. And I think once that is met, then I don't pay for anything. So at least that's my thought. So in network, and everything would be in network. So, but we'll find out. I know if insurance probably would not. I'm not due for a new machine yet, and I don't know if they would let me go to the travel as my only machine, and I don't know if I want to go to the travel machine as my only machine. So I might have to buy that in addition to the one I normally use, and I may have to play around with switching masks depending on which kind of travel machine I get. Ideally, I would like to get a machine that would work with my existing mask, and I would just continue as I've been, just with the portable device. But another thing to think of with the ResMed Air Mini, which is the travel, basically the travel version of, that's most like what I have. They've come up with an ingenious way to let me add moisture into my Airstream with this little, it's like a filter or something that basically helps, takes the moisture out of your breath to add moisture into the Airstream.
Dave peeing on your CPAP machine.
Nah,
I was thinking something along the lines of phlegm.
Oh, you
phlegm. 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 I love it.
Phlegm.
Phlegm.
Flam, flam.
But so you know, we'll see how that works. You know, I'm hoping I don't have to deal with it. I'm hoping that to get qualified for the surgery, and then I don't have to worry about that stupid shit. But either way, it's going to cost me some money. It's bad enough. A resupply is like $200 or $300. In fact, I currently owe my DME provider about $270 right now that I have to pay them.
How long does a resupply last?
They get resupplies every 6 months on my plan. And it's the crap of it all is too. It's all like plastic, silicone rubber, Lycra for the headgear. And it's like, none of that materials wise costs a lot of money, but they want to charge you like $200 for it. You know, it's like, so if I get the surgery, you know, and that's the other thing too with the implant, every 10 years I'd have to go get another surgery to swap it out because the battery only lasts 10 years in the implant. So. But that would take me all the way till I'm 63, and then that would take me to 73, and God knows if I would need another one, you know, be around for 30 more years. We'll see. You know, the way I'm going, I'm doing everything I need to do to extend my life, so. You know, I haven't smoked in years. I did, there was a time I did smoke, but it was like probably almost 30 years ago. Basically, I'd smoke when I go to the bar.
Now he just smokes weed.
No, I don't even do that. I've never had a joint. Not once.
Time to start.
No.
Dave gives you two urethras up.
Hey, it is legal in Ohio now. For recreation.
Well, instead of smoking it, just, you know, have some edibles.
Yeah, I don't think I want that.
Do you imagine don't think your joints I, not hurting for a while?
Yeah, I say, don't think I haven't thought about it, but.
Plus, it helps your sleep.
Yeah, and also does another bad thing. Gives you the munchies. Gives you the munchies, too.
And it's hard to eat when you're asleep.
Yeah.
True.
Dun, dun, dun. Joel's hitting the dispensary up right after the show.
Right?
Nah.
Like, he's like, nah.
He's They're like, not quite if it's got yet. Snoop Dogg or Martha Stewart Snoop on Dogg. It, give it to me. You get the edibles, then you wouldn't be coughing.
What, you think it would help the blister on my right foot, Joe?
It'll help you not care that you have a blister on your right foot.
No, honestly though, I think it's, you know, one of the things that I know that I wish that it, my mother-in-law was around, like, that was suggested to her when she was going through her cancer battle, because one of the things that happened with her is the chemo and everything just made her not feel like eating, all right? So if she'd have done an edible or something like that, that would have at least made a spurred and munchies in her, which would have been beneficial for her, but she'd have never done it. But I'm glad they're at least looking into, you know, well, what value does that have now, you know, so far as medical, other than just
it helps a lot.
Yeah, well, it's also an alternative painkiller, which can be really helpful when you're going through chemo or something like that,
yeah,
because
exactly.
A lot of your other painkillers will also wreck your body just as much as the chemo is doing. And, you know, when you stack that kind of damage, it sucks.
Yeah, yeah. Now here's the crappy thing of it all. Now, Misty, she has narcolepsy, okay? And she's been on New Vigil. She still is. That's the one of the medicines that she's on for it. But they wanted to add another one, that's only in a name brand called Sanasi. All right. Well, my insurance is pitching a fit to want to pay for it because of it's a name brand, but they wanted her to try two other medicines instead of that. One is dextroamphetamine, and the other is a medicine that will react badly to New Vigil, which she's also to be on at the same time as she takes a second drug for it.
They might as well just give her meth.
So the Sanasi, without insurance, is over $1,000 for a 30-day supply.
You know what? For like $40, you go down to the dispensary and get a 10-pack of 10-milligram indica strain.
That's not going to help with the narcolepsy.
That's not helping with narcolepsy, dude.
Narcolepsy, you can't sleep. Oh, no, she keeps
sleep.
No,
yeah.
She goes to sleep.
Oh, shit, yeah, no, okay.
When she's driving down the road,
I'm thinking of, what am I thinking of? Not narcolepsy.
You're thinking of
insomnia.
Giving me away
insomnia.
Which,
so don't go
have.
Down to the dispensary.
That's
$35
what I have on occasion.
Be a bad investment for narcolepsy.
Yeah. You know, it's time to, it's probably cheaper just to get an 8-ball.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
In some respects.
Go down to the Miller Mart on
Miller 10th Mart
and Jacobs Drive. Go in the
Why
back
do you
by
know
the dumpster.
Where all these drug places are, man.
And no, I don't know. I'm just saying it's Ohio. What do they have in Ohio? I don't know.
If they're talking about giving
Circle
her
K.
fucking dextroamphetamine, then why not just have
Huffers.
Her go on to like Ritalin or something?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we'll see. Like, she's out to talk to her. I don't. It might already be resolved. I don't know. But, you know, Optum is actually who does our pharmacy stuff, and they're generally okay. I mean, the only thing I don't like is they force you to go with 90-day supplies, which in some respects is okay.
They wouldn't let her do a 90-day supply if they gave her the dextroamphetamine.
Yes, and they don't with New Vigil either. They only do 30 days on those because Because actually, I think any of the narcolepsy drugs are controlled substances.
Anything related to amphetamine, they're only going to give you a 30-day supply. Otherwise, they suspect a lot of people are going to try and sell it.
Just like when you try to go to you have to go to the pharmacy to get Sudafed because people make meth out of it.
So is your wife prohibited from driving because of narcolepsy?
No.
Oh no.
Nope.
Wow.
No,
does she know when an episode is going to come on?
Yeah. If she as long as she's on her medication, she's fine.
Uh huh. No, I was just curious because I know I think epileptics can't drive. Right?
Now
that
change?
Epileptics can drive if they have not had a seizure in X amount of time. I think year or something crazy.
Yeah. Now, someone with narcolepsy might have an issue with getting a CDL, which she's not going to get a CDL. But
you have trouble getting a CDL if you have apnea.
Yeah, that's true too.
But I thought one of the pre-existing conditions for apnea was you have a CDL. Because you spent an awful lot of time driving on your and sitting on your butt.
Well, I know some truck drivers that refuse to get the sleep study done because it will affect their ability to be a driver.
That's true. Honestly, what really needs to happen with sleep medicine is they really need to come out with a hybrid implant that can do both. And if that happened, we wouldn't even be having this discussion. I probably would already have it. Because these are much more of a freedom. You get much more of your freedom back. You don't have to have power in the middle of the night. You know, like a few weeks ago.
How are you
going to
charge your phone?
Well, there's ways to do that. There's, you know, solar panels work, you know. And they're getting more efficient all the time. So, I mean, that's not a problem. And that's the same thing goes with... If I don't get approved for that, then my plan is to get the machine and two sets of batteries, and each battery should power it for one night of sleep. So I'll have both of them charged at the beginning, and the first day I'll use one of them, and then the one I use...
You and I have two very different definitions of camping.
Right. This is true. You like the glamp.
This is true.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't mind glamping either, but I want to go and hike 10 miles in the woods, find a spot to camp and do it. You know, and that's not, you know, you can't do that without power. So what the plan would be is if I have to get
You know what? You should just get yourself a water wheel that generates electricity and camp right next to a stream. Then you solve the moisture issue, too.
Carrying that thing the whole time.
Well, the thing is, the one I'm talking about, Joe, is the size of a can of pop. And the whole gear probably weighs, with both batteries, I think, the one I saw.
So you set up a decent campsite, and then you hike 5 miles out, and you hike 5 miles back, and then you got power.
No. I'm not when you're talking about going on through hikes, which, you know, that's kind of what I want to do. With, you know, like, we're talking 200-300-mile hikes. So they have a...
Learn to go without sleep for a week.
They have a medical approved battery that's about $400 that will charge off a solar panel. So if I buy two of those, then I can charge one while I'm hiking with the solar panel. If there's power, if there is sun that day, it shouldn't be a problem. If there's not, well, then we might have an issue, but you know, there's ways around that, you know, and there's all sorts of options battery wise, you know. It's just making, you know, it would be a significant and probably the most expensive piece of gear that would have to be in my backpack. You know, it would eclipse, for most people, the expensive gear is the tent, the backpack, and your sleep system, you know, which would include your sleeping bag, sleeping pad, and maybe a pillow if you really need a pillow.
Rocks are cheap.
Yeah, rocks are cheap. No, rocks are hard. not to mention that, another good reason you might want to use a sleeping pad when you're camping is so that the cold in the ground doesn't hit you. You know, so get a pad with an R value of some sort. So, but, you know, it was something, like I said, hopefully I get approved of the surgery, then that's not a worry at all. And I have maybe a couple ounces for the, remote that turns on the implant at night. So, the surgery happened. Once the surgery happens, it will activate it 30 days after the surgery so that you're all healed and all that. And for 30 days, I can't pick up anything 20 pounds or over, which means Joel doesn't have to carry groceries in.
Yeah, but you got to get approved for the surgery first.
This is true.
Have you had your septum undeviated?
I don't have a deviated septum. So... yeah, I had my bronchoscopy already. So so basically we're either going through this, split study and I don't know. The last I heard, cause the first thing I did once I got out of the doctor's office, which was like 4:45 on Monday, was I fired up the patient portal for my ENT and said, this is what he said. You got to get with him and figure this stuff out. All right. And then he emails me back. Well, I talked to Dr. Smatter today, and the only one that I had was the one that said 27 to 28. I'm like, yeah, okay. So, and then the last thing he led off with was Dr. Smatter was talking to the Inspire folks, and we'll see what happens out of that. So, but, you know, I'll go through the other study, and you know, the one question I have is, I know he did my bronchoscopy, so I guess, well, that doesn't require you to have an incision, unlike the surgery. So I don't know if the ENT is only implanting the device. They don't take care of it. So like, they don't do the programming of it. Or the adjustment.
Do they pull it out when you die?
Probably not.
I guess it depends on whether or not you're going in the incinerator.
It wouldn't matter. It'd just burn up.
Yeah, but they don't like having metal in the incinerator.
Well, they can always pull it out. I wouldn't care. I'm dead. But... so we'll see how that all goes. And it actually, this going through this journey kind of has me thinking about starting a podcast called Sleep Apnea Sucks. Cause it does. It does. I mean,
are you starting it, or is there one already?
I'm thinking about starting it. Yeah. I haven't gotten around to doing it. I played around with, I found there was a AI music generator, which was actually pretty interesting. I paid for a trial, and unfortunately it was iOS only. So I paid for a trial and tried it with my iPad, and it actually was pretty fun messing around with it. But so if you listen to the last Retro Arcade show, I end the show with one of those AI generated songs. So that I did for that. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Is it 100%? No. Is it going to generate a song that's going to get a Grammy? No. You know, but it's fun to play around with. And a lot of folks are using those AI music generators to generate funny songs. So at least AI can do something good.
Yeah.
So what's up with you, Joe?
Not much.
Not much.
Dylan? Dylan?
Nice.
Work is interesting. Hopefully, you know, a new position will open up and I'll be able to transfer around a little bit. Something new.
Hopefully.
You know, I've been in the same position for 8 years now. We shall see.
Money, money, money. And
that's the hope. They need to pay me more.
Less headache, headache, headache.
Well, no, it'll probably be more headache. I mean, I got things unlocked right now, you know. I am the expert, and the most I have to do is train other people to do stuff.
We sorry, Joe, we can't move you. We need you in that place. You know everything.
you know, I have done so much work to make sure that that doesn't happen by making sure everybody is trained up well enough that I'm not necessarily needed where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did not want that to be my limiting factor, me being the only one that, you know, knows
can practice. Do things. Yeah, I know. It's one of those things where, like, I had a guy who, he had, at least one sick day, and I'm like, I'm tired of taking over tickets for people, which seems like that's what I've been doing the most of lately. Because they're out sick or decide not to come in that day or whatever.
I guess that is one thing. I mean, I've got a lot of people that are pretty well specialized because they end up doing the same things day after day after day. And if anybody gets sick, then it's me that covers down on them. And I'm not sure if, anybody else could do it that well.
Man, you stunned them to silence, Joe. Stunned them to silence.
And with Joel, that's saying a lot.
So what are you going to do now?
Me? I don't know yet. Well, I do know, but I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Oh.
And it's not a for sure thing yet anyway, so...
You know what? I apologize to Joel, but I have a question. Did you get your banana split, man?
Me? No.
Your daughter works at an ice cream shop, doesn't she?
She does.
Does she bring you a banana split?
No, I haven't asked her to. It'd be all melty by the time she got home.
She can make a special trip over her lunch break for you.
Yeah, but she'd have to Uber because she doesn't have a driver's license.
She'd get a LimeWire scooter.
I'll swing by one of these days when she's working and say, daughter, make me a banana split.
And it better be free.
And delicious.
Yeah. Is she liking working there?
Oh, she seems to. I think she has a management position there, but it's still only paying like $16 an hour or something.
You know what? Things don't work out at your current place, you can go get a job with her, right?
Right.
She'll get you in. She'll get you in.
Yeah, she can get me hired.
You guys could be running the place soon.
Right. Yeah, we'd be living in cardboard boxes out back, but yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Dave? So you get all your problems worked out?
I reckon.
With you get your Debian installed.
Yeah, I got Debian installed. I didn't have no idea what kind of graphics card was in this thing or how much RAM or any of that stuff. It's an older computer, but I think it's got 12
megs of memory.
gigabytes of RAM, and got a 2 terabyte hard drive and a Intel 530 card. It's running KDE just fine.
You playing Mahjong on it?
No, I just got it up. Right. I mean, it's just.
What are you doing with it?
Nothing yet.
Nothing.
I'm thinking about making an RSS server because Nextcloud News is not been updated since Nextcloud 27. I think we're on 30 now. So they're having to rewrite it, and they don't have a developer that can do the work necessary for the interface or something. So the newsreader I'm used to using, I'm not able to use. So I'm thinking about,
Well, you know what? That's your opportunity to step up there.
Oh,
and
no.
Take over the project.
I don't even know nothing about Vue. I don't know if it's Java or what it is, but I don't know anything about it, but,
you can rewrite it in a bash script with Python, right? Like, what did you do, Dave? This isn't what we wanted.
If nothing else, this will be my grandson's Minecraft machine one day. So we'll see. Right now, I look like a hacker. I've got four monitors, and I'm using that what's that program called? Barrier between the four. So
you have actually four computers.
Well, no, I have way more than that.
Set up in front of you.
Right now, yeah. There's a web server. There's a Nextcloud server. There's.
And each of them are hooked up to a different monitor, and you're using Barrier to go amongst them.
Yeah.
I'd say that's wrong, but I've done that before.
Yeah, this isn't half the computers I own either. I mean.
Well, of course.
I'm in here one day a week too. This room. I mean.
So that's why Joel was quiet. He got kicked off for a minute.
Barrier replace? What was the other one?
What was that called?
Oh my goodness.
Barrier replace? I missed that.
Barrier is an application that allows you to use your mouse on multiple devices.
Is it mouse and keyboard, right?
The virtual KV.
Anybody got one where you can do that with a battery? That's what happened. Yeah. I pulled my adapter out of the laptop, and then of course since the battery doesn't work in this laptop, it went down hard. Thank you for Manjaro for being so solid even after that. But
hey, I got a quick
Synergy.
Question for
it replaced
Joe.
Synergy.
Synergy, that's it. Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Merv.
What's up, Merv?
Hey, I got a question for Joe. So I got my PineSill, I don't know, months, a year ago, and haven't touched it. And I finally got around to a couple of soldering projects, some of which were successful, some of which were not. One of the unsuccessful ones, I have a pair of Anker SoundBuds Curve that the driver part of it pulled off with its little wires. And I said, when I get the soldering iron, I'm going to try to solder these on. How do you strip those little tiny skinny wires so that you can solder them? I'm at a loss. I just tried to like tin them and do it, and that puts it in the unsuccessful soldering projects pile.
Well, if tinning them straight didn't work, you can get a razor blade and be very precise and scrape.
I think it still might be too small, but when I was, my degree is in electronics engineering technology. So in my kit, I have I'm trying to think, how did I strip those? Cause basically one of our projects, we had to build a computer, and most of us used a wire wrap. So what wire wrap is we had dip sockets. That had extra long posts on them. All right, so to wire it together, you would take this really thin wire, and it goes in a device that kind of looks a little bit like a micro screwdriver. All right, and then you stick the hole in that goes over the post with the wire in another hole, and then you twist it, and it wraps that around the pole. So where I'm getting to is I think that came with a wire stripper that was made for that really thin wire wrap wire.
Let me ask you a couple of questions here, Murph. What temperature are you at?
98.6. Oh, you mean the soldering iron?
Yeah.
It was 315 or something. It was whatever it came stock as. And it got to that temperature so delightfully quick, it was really nice soldering with the thing.
First of all, with those tiny wires, crank it up to 400.
Okay.
Just crank it up to 400 anyway and leave it there. But next, are you using flux?
No.
Okay, on those tiny wires, it's also extremely helpful to use flux.
Gotcha. I'll have to see if I can procure some at some point. I am using, it was like 60-40 tin lead solder. Like, ooh, lead solder. That seems rough to come by these days.
Yeah,
actually, it is.
It is a little bit harder to come by. Nowadays, you kind of look for low melt solder, but there's two types, and some of it's pretty expensive.
Yeah, I have some with lead in it, but that's because I'm old.
yeah, I was just going to say, that tells you how long it's been since I soldered stuff, because, I thought nothing of that when I bought it, so it was not rare or uncommon at the time.
So, you're talking about the coating that's on it, because there shouldn't be any plastic shielding on it. I'm looking at the Anker Soundbuds Curve Wireless, and it just the type of wire that it looks like would be in those would just be the type that has the coating on it.
It might be just coating, I don't know, but there is definitely a plastic something. I was hoping it would melt off when I tried to tin it, but she's a no-bake sound, so I'm assuming it did not work.
Crank it up to 400 and use a bit of flux, and that should do it.
I will give it another shot. Of course, there is a limit onto how much time and effort it's worth putting into a pair of headphones that honestly didn't sound that great when I had them. But it's just a matter of principle. I'm trying to make them work again.
That's the only reason I would work on a pair of Anker Soundbuds. I just don't like the style.
Actually, I really like the style where they hang over your ear, because, like, I'll use those when I'm riding a bike on the trail, and that way if one pops out, it doesn't disappear. It's still hooked with a wire to the other one.
Well, that's why I wear neck bands.
Right. Yeah, why the old LG ones are the best ones. If I could find a set of those, I'd buy a set right now, but I haven't been able to find them in years.
I'm looking at about 20 pairs right now.
Well, you buy broken ones and fix them, so.
Yeah, I have to say, though, for Bluetooth headphones, I have a pair of Pine Buds Pro, and they are probably the best Bluetooth headphones I've run into.
And those are true wireless, just the... No wire between them and earbuds, right?
Correct. They jam into your ear, which I don't care for. I prefer over-the-ear headphones, but for their purpose, they sound good and they work correctly.
I've heard good things about them and the Google Buds Pro or something like that.
Yeah, they just brought out the version 2 of those, and I kind of want a set. But, man, are they pricey.
Well, the Pine Buds are reasonably priced and they sound good, so I would certainly give those a shot if you're looking for something.
That's horrible. I just pasted a link to something that might work for stripping the end of that cable, those wires off there, Murph. That's the whole kit, but it has the tool with it for stripping this extremely thin wire that wire wrap is. So.
How much does this kit cost?
$20.
I don't know if these headphones are worth spending $20 out of pocket for at this point.
Probably not.
Seriously, just like I said, crank it up to 400. It should clear that coating off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to try that. I didn't know that increasing it above what it was set at would help. If you think it will, I'm going to try it.
Now, what power supply are you using?
A Pine Power or Perfect. Pine Charge or whatever it is.
Perfect. Yeah, that one with like six ports on it and the wireless charging on top.
I don't think there's wireless charging on top, but there's five ports in the front and one of them is a 65 watt.
Yeah,
like I can run my laptop on it. Yeah, I knew it was enough power. That thing warmed up instantly. I was very pleased with it.
Okay, and I usually use the small tips as well. I don't know if you're using the really fine tip.
I'm using the one it came with.
I should order one then.
It didn't come. Oh, you didn't order the extra tips with it. Okay. I don't know which tip it came with, but I usually use the finest tip I can get, specifically for headphone wires.
Yeah, since I'm not doing this on the regular, I don't think I'm buying more parts to make this happen. Right.
Yeah, well, because it would be like $15 if you even just got the one tip on Amazon instead of buying the five pack from Fine.
Yeah.
Considering how seldom I solder, I'm like, if I need this in the future, maybe I'll consider buying it, but I ain't buying it for these headphones. That's not worth it.
Well, now, I will say the Pine Time is great for like really small wires and really small connections. The Pine Sol, yeah. For really small connections and really thin wires, it's good for that. But if you're dumping heat into like a thick PCB, then even with a thicker tip, it's better to get a soldering station.
I actually have one that I got years ago, a Weller one. I don't know how good it is.
Weller makes good stuff.
Yeah, I've had it for years, but haven't busted it out. All of my soldering stuff has been small scale stuff, so the Pine Sol seems to fit what I need to do most of the time. Like I soldered in the wire ends of a battery to try to make a Bluetooth keyboard work, which was a failure, but I think it was because the keyboard was broken. And it, you know, did the solder points on the PCB, and I actually left the connectors on the battery, everything tested through. So I was not doing soldering the easy way, and it worked just fine. It was plenty powerful, did everything I needed perfectly.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Thank you for letting me butt in and ask soldering stuff out of place here. I appreciate it.
No,
I love it.
Good discussion. I do too. I did too. Actually.
And I'll talk over Joel all day, every day.
I know you will. I know you will. But no, Joe, did I tell you what I fixed, at the end of Christmas last year?
I don't remember.
My Christmas tree.
I think you mentioned it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the wires, I don't know how maybe the cat broke it. I don't know what happened, but one of the
wires.
That's
what you had said. The cat broke it.
Yeah. That's what I think happened. And, so before I put it together, I soldered it and it worked good. It's worked fine the rest of the season. So hopefully it still holds. I had to add extra wire to it because it wasn't, one of the reasons I think is because.
Did Joel just admit to leaving his tree up year round?
No, I did not. No, it's in the garage. It's in the garage. But
Is it plugged in? In the garage,
plugged in and decorated.
No, it's in the box.
In the box. That's encouraging.
Is it plugged in the box?
It's not plugged in the box, please. No. Thing is it's it was probably the most expensive Christmas tree I ever bought. It was like $300 when I bought it. Cause we got these higher ceilings in my new house. I wanted a bigger tree, so I got a bigger tree. So I think it's 8 foot tall. And before
pre-lit,
we only had, pre-lit, yeah. But I still add lights to it too.
Of course.
Yeah, because the pre-lit ones never put enough on it. Now I did see, I was walking through the neighborhood today doing my walk today. And I don't know why, but one of my neighbors, they have like Halloween stuff up, which I understand that. But next to the ghosts they have up, they got Christmas lights up. And I'm like, and you can tell they're Christmas lights because they ain't orange and black. or orange and white or whatever color you put up at Halloween. And I'm like, okay.
Sounds like two birds, one stone.
Yeah.
Since Christmas has invaded before Thanksgiving, I think it's perfectly fair for Halloween to move into Labor Day.
Oh yeah, well, yeah, why not? Yeah, right.
I've been seeing Halloween stuff since last month.
Oh yeah,
actually, I've been seeing like the Reese's peanut butter pumpkins like since July.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that next week they're going to have Easter stuff out.
Probably.
Hey, don't be silly. You can't do that before the Valentine's Day stuff.
Yeah.
Valentine.
I don't know about your wife, Murph, but I lucked out when I got mine. Mine wife does not care. In fact, she will say, "Why did you buy these?" if I buy her flowers. She does not like me to buy her flowers. Unless they're the kind that go in the ground.
and then she does like it when you buy her flowers. You just got to buy the ones with the roots still attached.
Yeah, that's right. And since I don't have to do that anymore where I live, I don't have to do that anymore. She's so easy with that stuff. She's not one of those, "What'd you buy me for Valentine's Day?" You know, we when it comes to like holidays,
you gotta quit polishing that silver platter. You really do.
Yeah, I know. It's like Christmas comes and
every time you open your mouth.
Yes. I asked her, what do you want for Christmas? I don't know. What do you want? I'll tell her what I want. And she's like, "Well, go buy it." I'm like, "Okay." Don't have to tell me twice.
I tell people what I want for Christmas and I get ignored.
Well, that happens too.
Except by one of my kids who asks me what I want for Christmas, and then I say, "What's the budget?" And then she, you know, tells me the budget, and then I send her things from Amazon, and she's like, "Yep, I'm getting that one."
Yeah. Well, that's like when I got the Cricket for my birthday. You know, she knew I wanted it, and she's like, "Well, I thought you were going to go get the Cricket." I'm like, "I don't have to spend $700 for my birthday." She's like, "Yeah, you can go ahead and get it." And I'm like,
"Oh, thanks for telling me I can spend my own money."
Right?
I was like when we're driving and she points out because like I'm a car guy, she'll point out some car and I'll be like, "Oh yeah, right, that's nice. And you know, the color's fine too. So, you know, whenever you're ready, that's fine. Give me one of those for my birthday. That'd be great."
Yeah. There's that one car that if any of you saw one, you know, an older car, if you saw it in good shape, that you would buy it. And for me, it sounds dumb, but I'd say a 90s era Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme. I don't know why I like the design, but I do.
To me, it'd be a 68 Impala or a 67 Volkswagen Beetle.
Okay.
Basically, most anything made in 68 is worth a second look.
Yeah.
But would you guys daily a car that
Corvette,
old?
Stingray?
I would now.
60s? No. But I would the 90 Cutlass Supreme.
When I'm driving 50 miles a month, I would definitely daily drive one of those cars.
Right.
I looked at a,
you know,
my wife and I were walking
resto
this week,
mod it.
And I looked resto at mod. A 61 VW Beetle that somebody had put a Subaru engine in. It's like, I don't want a Volkswagen that fast.
Just resto mod it, man. That's what you do.
You know, you get a late 60s model Mustang, and that'd be a great car to drive around. The only problem is I couldn't afford the goddamn insurance on it.
Yeah.
Right?
Or the gas.
Or the gas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The 68 Impala, the one I had, I think I got 9 miles per gallon.
Right. Two gallons per mile, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's funny you mentioned 68 Impala, Dave. That was my first car, was a 68 Impala. It was older than I was.
Cool.
That was my first car, too. Mine was a green two-door. I think I called it a super coupe with a half-vinyl roof and fender skirts. OD green.
My first car was a 1968 Plymouth Fury 3 with a 318 Police Interceptor in it.
You see, and our kids have no idea. I mean, Luke never drove a car that old.
I used to have traffic stops. Cops would try to buy the car from me. It had a 327 and a Holley four barrel. I mean, it was a nice car.
Now, my first car was a 1977 Volare, no air conditioning. It did have cruise control. And it had a sunroof and rally wheels and the 318 Mopar in it.
So you guys had decent ones. When I said that 68 Impala, it was the four-door family sedan version with the weakest V8 in it. And
you didn't have the cool V8,
one. Yeah, I didn't have the good one. And my dad and his friend had painted it themselves. Mind you, they were plumbers. So that's the level of paint I had on it. And it had the old New Jersey, it was the same color blue as the old New Jersey plates, which was like a light sky blue and laid on so thick it had little golf ball dimples in it.
Yeah.
I drove that through a lot of high school.
That's crazy. Yeah. We had the same car, but two vastly different experiences.
And I drove it until the engine pretty much self-destructed, and I drove it to the junkyard. So I parked it at the junkyard, planning on going there and begging them to give me something for it the next day. And it had had for sale signs in it for 6 months. I drive it to the junkyard. Right. Someone calls me that night, says, "How much you want for it?" I'm like, "Well, where'd you see it? Like in front of the wreckers." Like, "What are you offering?" I said, "35 bucks." I'm like, "Sold. I'll meet you down there with the title." There was a good chance the wreckers were going to charge me to get rid of it. I'm like, "35 right. bucks in my pocket. I'll meet you down there."
Now see, my second's also one of them guilty pleasure cars. If I found one in good shape, I'd buy one. 1980 Cutlass Supreme with the four headlights on it. That's what I had when I had it. All right, when I first got it. Not when I got rid of it.
He's going to put hydraulics in the back.
When I got rid of it.
It's just going to be bouncing the whole time.
No, when I got rid of it, I had a two headlight clip on the front. Because Joel hit a guardrail with it.
my second car was a 1978 Gran Torino Elite with a 351 Windsor.
Ooh, there you go. That's a motor. Those Windsors, man.
They were fun to play with.
So you guys are doing first and second cars. So I went from the 68 Chevy Impala, which was about 900 feet long, to a 1982 Plymouth Colt, which was about a third of the length of that.
Yeah.
And just tiny little car.
I'm willing to bet that the 78 Gran Torino Elite was at least as long as the Impala, if not a little bit longer.
If I remember right, the Impala that I had, the two-door, was 17 and a half feet long.
Oh, let me see.
Right.
I don't remember, but it took a while to walk past it. It was big.
Yeah.
My second car was a 67 Beetle. So I went from the Impala 327.
Oh, there you go.
I forget what the horsepower was, but I went to a 35 horsepower 1300 cc Volkswagen from the Impala.
Right.
Yeah, so we did a similar transmission from the big, a transition from the big car to the very small car.
Yeah.
See, now, I'm kind of semi-kicking myself, because one of the cars we looked at, it was like a 77 Impala. At that time, when I was in college, I lived, my residence was still Pennsylvania. My car was still registered in Pennsylvania and all that because it was all under my dad's name, right? So I had to take it back to get it inspected over the summer, and the Velari failed the inspection, and Dad wasn't willing to put money into it to fix the issues. I think there was like a hole in it or something, you know, and PA's a pain in the ass for that stuff. So we went looking for cars, and one of the first ones that we looked at was a 60s era Camaro with the passenger door smashed in, and I'm like, "Dad, that ain't gonna work."
Excuse me, it must have been a 76.
Yeah, and I'm like, "No." And so then we saw this 77 Impala. I almost said yes, but then I thought, "Nah, I don't want to drive that boat." And then we found the 80 Cutlass, which I loved that car. That was great. The only problem I ever had with that was, right after I got married, I was driving to work the first day back out of our honeymoon.
Okay.
And the muffler fell off.
214 inches.
Oh, that's how big it was?
That's what it's saying here on the interwebs.
Yay.
The outside length was 214 inches. How long was the Impala?
17 and a half feet, if I remember that.
Yeah, that's about right. I don't
so know. 17.833 would be 214 inches. So, yeah, so it's about 0.5, it's a half of 6 inches longer, that car was, than the Impala.
Yeah.
And I had the two-door Impala, so. The one car I wish I'd have got, I actually test drove it before I got that Volkswagen, was a 1970 Honda CVCC. Had the manual choke. It's more or less a Japanese Volkswagen. It was, I guess, the Proto Civic. That's a cool car. I would drive one of those now if I could find one.
Mm-hmm. But you see, you know what you would do on any of these older cars is you'd resto mod it and put in modern stuff.
Like nah. That later. Nah.
Somewhat. Come on, you would.
I'd put in a modern stereo. Modern
yeah,
head
with,
unit.
Yeah, yeah. With Android Auto.
I would, a Volkswagen, I'd want stock. Now I could see restoring it, you know, restoring any rust that's on it. I like that look, but.
My aunt had a Beetle, and she kept that thing until the floor rusted out.
Oh, and it will.
Yeah. Yep. Which reminds me, Dan, when are you going to replace the fit?
I was just talking to my wife about that.
You got a new phone. You might as well get a new car.
How many miles on it? Those things are indestructible.
Yeah, no, it's been really great, and I love it. But it is, because I was just saying to my wife, you know, with Paige having to use our car, because she still hasn't gotten her car back, we're down to just having to fit, and I'm like...
And your wife can't drive it, can she?
No, she can drive. What do you mean my wife can't drive? Because manual, you saying women can't drive manual cars, Joel?
No,
you
saying my wife I'm can't not drive saying manual. That. I heard him say it. No.
Yeah, they've heard it. No, she, but that is a problem, because nobody
right.
else besides my wife and I can really realistically
right,
drive that
right,
car,
right.
so. You
sometimes
know.
That's nice.
I'm not hearing much of a downside is. There.
Yeah, that's why I last it so long.
But the thing is, like I said, this past weekend, we had to go, you know, from one end of the southern town to the other end of the northern town here, and it was like a significantly long drive, so I had to go drop my car off at my daughter's work to pick up the Kia so we can make that trip and come back and drop it off at her work again and pick up the fit. You know, it's like because I don't want to abuse the fit any more than I have to because
right.
And we're the only ones that can drive stick, so we can't let her use that car.
15 minutes. We learn to drive a stick.
Yeah, but I don't want them learning to drive a stick on that. I don't want them to abuse, like I said, the fit. It's,
what year is that, Dan? Is that
2009?
2007. Okay, wow.
It was
how many miles?
Came out. Oh my goodness, 200 something, 230, I think.
40. Wow.
I mean,
so what?
Huh?
So I've got the 2014 BRZ, and I've got 194,000 miles on it.
It runs on your top, doesn't it?
It does.
Like the fit's showing its age. Like it's they don't have what is it, the struts in it? Because they don't have like proper shocks or something. It's like a strut mechanism. We never got it replaced, so it's like, you know, wagon time sometimes. While you're driving.
I'm sure the wheels are on the ground occasionally then.
But it works. Right. It, you know, it's great. I can't really complain about it. It's been running. Knock on wood, it's been great, but it is getting old. So I guess more to the point, what I was saying to my wife is probably one of the bigger reasons why we got to consider trading this in. Cause at some point, the Kia we have is going to be time to trade, you know, we're going to have to get rid of it. Cause that's, right. that's getting, and so that's like a 7 or 8 years older. Or younger than the fit, so I would rather get something and get that mostly paid off than having to get another two cars at once or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. I
I've got a 96 Honda. I got a 96 Nissan Frontier pickup truck that just keeps going. It's only got 140,000 miles on it, but it's a great truck. I think I may buy a new one next year.
Do you use it a lot?
That's my main car. My youngest
daughter.
You're
retired. You don't go anywhere. Where are you going? The end of the driveway to pick up the mail and back?
Well, I try to get out a couple of days a week. Go to town for something.
Down to Hardee's.
You've been running.
Hardee's for your breakfast biscuit. You and the old guys sitting around. Your breakfast biscuit.
I'm not there yet. But my daughter's driving the Prius during the summer because the air works, and her pilot, Prius has 190,000 miles on it. The 2010 pilot's got 212. The air doesn't work. Works in the back seat, not the front. So she's driving the pilot in the winter to school. So.
Right. See, the only way I trade my Traverse in, I mean, I still owe on it for one, but the only way I would trade in now though would be to get a truck, because I want to, you know, if I get a camper, I want to have a truck that can tow it. My Traverse can't tow anything unless it's extremely light.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Frontier just because the one I've got has lasted forever, and it's the only mid-sized truck you can still get with a V6 in it. So,
is that true?
Hmm. Yep.
That's like, the Trax that we got for Luke has a 3-cylinder in it. It does a good job though. They had to do a recall on it. Yeah, we got to wrap it up. It's after 10.
Yeah, we got to wrap it up. I got to play us out. All right. Thank you, everybody. Here we go. Oh, is it going to be October next week?
Yep.
Yeah.
Damn. All right. Here we go for you.
I am short.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Are you making egg foo young in the kitchen? I was in the dining room having sushi.
I like sweet
on me. That means he likes sweet barbecue sauce. Get you that sweet barbecue sauce.
You know what I had yesterday? You know, I smoked a turkey yesterday.
All right.
Yeah, it was good.
What did I make the other day?
I had spaghetti yesterday.
Chef Boyardee.
No. Did you smoke it?
Smoke that spaghetti.
Now there's a thought. That might be interesting.
I don't know. It sounds a little weird.
I made cheesesteaks the other day. We didn't put them on rolls or anything. We just ate it. Like it was, you know, with onions.
No, it's not a cheesesteak, is it?
No, I had cheese on it. Just didn't have a bun.
Cheese or cheese whiz?
Cheese. Real cheese. I don't buy cheese whiz. It's
so gross. thanks for letting me butt in. I asked soldering questions.
Oh, yeah. Anytime.
Then you dragged me down to talking about cars, and I can't resist that. So.
Of course not, yeah.
And now you're going to go get a cheesesteak?
Tomorrow for lunch, maybe.
There you go. There you go.
Oh, man, a Jersey cheesesteak.
Wait, what's the difference between a Jersey one and a Philly one? Made in New
the
Jersey.
Jersey ones are the Jersey ones are closer. That's why.
Yeah.
Well,
there's a huge difference between what I can get in Jersey and what I can get down here.
That's true, too, probably.
So, there we go. That's it.
It's a juxtaposition.
Ben?
Oh, Joel.
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking to you this whole time. I didn't realize I was muted. I'm like, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? And then I'm
just
talking about something, and I'm like, what? I was like, where is everybody?
I didn't know, but I'm nursing them. I keep getting freaking blisters on my right foot. Ugh. Guess that's what happens when I actually use it.
for walking and stuff? Are you running? Jogging?
Sunday, after church, I went and I did nearly a 5K on the treadmill. And I did it I'd say 30 of the 45 minutes or so. I did it at 4 mile an hour, which for me is going pretty good.
Well, and then you have to ask why you got blisters on your feet, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, using them in a different way. That's great. Good for you, sir.
Today I was just a walking day. That's all I did today. I wanted to go to the gym, but I had to listen to my foot.
That's good.
But tomorrow I got boot camp, and then Friday I'll probably go do probably upper body as well as treadmill. And then Saturday we have our fall fest at church, but I think I'm also going to go up to Sierra Trading and see if I can't find a decent pair of road shoes. We got this place at Sierra Trading. Probably as we're going into winter, I'm probably going to do less trails. I'm probably going to pick up a pair of road shoes so that I have a pair for the 5K. I got a pair of New Balances I'm using, but I think probably with me losing the weight since I got those, that my foot might have shrunk with, you know, because it's not as fat. So I may need to go with a regular width shoe instead of the wide like you usually do. That might be why I'm getting the blister in the foot.
There you go. How you doing, Dave?
Good. How ya?
Doing well.
You know what, Dave?
What?
About an hour ago.
It's a juxtaposition of the meat, right?
Yeah, no, about 40 minutes ago, I was driving home from the store, and I said to myself, what did we talk about last week? And I was like, oh, we're talking about Dave putting stuff in his urethra. And I was like,
I do not remember that.
I can't remember. Was it salt?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You remember that?
No, not
at the beginning of the show. We were talking about cramming this. Was it before the show or the beginning of the show? Putting something in somebody's in your urethra. Somebody shooting something in their urethra.
You
don't remember that?
I remember vaguely urethra talk, but I don't remember
And I was like, you know, they make those urethra stimulators that gives you a little, I don't know if it's an electric shock or it just vibrates. And I'm like, I would never use one of those because I'd be afraid I'd blow my dick off. I'd be like, okay, I'm going to try this out. And the next thing you know, it looks like Wile E. Coyote's face when the gun blows. it's split like the barrel. And I'm like, what happened? That'd be terrible.
You've been thinking about this for an hour or for a week?
I'm not way home from the store. I just was thinking about that.
Dang.
Now I'm going to think about it before I go to bed, Dave.
Of course you are.
Nah.
Yeah, I got good news, but I'll kind of good news. I'll talk about it on the show, though.
Where's Joe?
He's got better stuff to do? I don't know.
Ay, ay, ay. Better stuff to do. What could he possibly have better to do? What time is it? I guess it's time to start the show. We'll see if Joe pops in. I hope he does.
I do too.
Because I'm getting sick of Dave telling me how to live my life.
Okay.
Things that didn't happen for a thousand, Alex.
Wait, how did I do that? What's over here? Oh, there we are.
One of these days we need to order a spare battery for this thing.
Can y'all still hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
How's the family doing, Dave?
Good. Everybody doing good.
They exist.
We got some weather on the way, though.
That's why I hear.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they're calling for 10 inches of rain Friday. I think where I live, we're going to be right in the worst spot, you know, once it gets up here.
We finally got rain. We had a thing that we were going to do at the park last weekend, and we had to cancel because we couldn't do any grilling. There was a fire ban of all sorts.
Well, that stinks.
Yeah, it's kind of been raining off and on most of the week. Like, more than a day or two, I did some walking outside with the drizzle. Guess he's back on Facebook.
Pegwall.
Pat. No, Pegwall's always been on there.
No, oh, Pat, yeah? Is he doing okay? I mean, we haven't heard from him for like forever.
I don't know, but it was, let's see, September 20th, 2017 was when I did this show at your house in the basement, and I got a picture of fat old me sitting next to you, it's amazing to me how different I look right now.
you should post that picture somewhere so we could look at it. I could look at me, right? Dave, that's what Dave wants.
Yeah. He's like, let me see. That should be in my Google Photos. I think I took my little Hybrix PC with me, which that was the one and only thing I ever kickstarted. I was so disappointed in that.
Wait, which Kickstarter?
The Hybrix PC from Aspen Computing. Oh,
from Ass.
Ass.
You know what, Dave? That last conversation that went right before I asked Joel the question had my mind going, and somehow it ended up.
Oh, no.
Up, I'm not going to tell you what was in between here and there, but I ended up with, do you remember the picture going around of the guy who had the picture of Yoda on the bed and then the fleshlight stuck between the mattress?
No.
No. Oh, Star Wars fans, man. Are you a Star Wars fan, Joel? Dave, I know you're not. You don't.
No, I used to be.
Yes and no.
I can tell you
mostly
when I stopped being one.
What, Last Jedi?
I don't even know the name of the episode, but it's the one where Dead Leia force flew between two spaceships.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. I remember you talking.
Yeah, I got secondhand embarrassed just watching that.
Yeah, it was Last Jedi. Look, if you're in the IRC, look at the IRC. Otherwise, I'll post it in Mumble.
Oh, you're the picture. Okay. Oh, wow, look at that. I had no hair back then.
You did.
Look at that.
And now you look like Grizzly Adams, right?
Yeah, where's the now picture, Joel?
I'll get you one. Hold on.
Yeah. You see that, Dave?
Yeah.
Dave, print it out right now.
I just wonder how many people alive today.
Stop the flashlight in between, right?
No. Well, how many people alive today can actually say they've seen damn space?
And yeah, alive, that's right. Yeah. Alive today.
He puts the lotion on his skin.
Now this is me and the new rucking group I went with last weekend.
Oh, you're posting to a different place now.
No, both.
We need the people in Super Chats.
Yeah, Super Chats.
Look at you, man.
This ain't freaking YouTube.
You're getting almost unrecognizable.
Mm-hmm.
You look like somebody who was
was fat and now's not.
No. I mean, you look like somebody who's like a TV personality now. You were on a local channel talking about model railroads. Right there.
Or if Drew Carey and Oswald Patton had a kid.
There you go.
Now you see the guy I'm standing next to, and then the lady wearing the same thing on their shoulders. There, that's a no ruck plate carrier. They're carrying 30-pound weights, and eventually I'm going to get one of those for this group. Rucking is essentially walking with weight.
There you go. So still hanging from your genitals.
That would hurt.
Yeah.
That would hurt.
That's why Dave doesn't do the mud runs anymore. He was doing it wrong.
It's like,
or
like,
right, if you ask him.
No idea why it was in my feed, but apparently there was this Olympian, in the past Olympian, somebody Osashi, I think, who does this one move that only she's done called, you're gonna like the name of this, Dan, the Clam Slam. Yeah, look at one up. Wait. It's pretty funny.
I don't know what's funnier, that or Joel telling us he doesn't know how he got that sent to him, right?
No. It's just in my YouTube.
Ohio doesn't block
YouTube page. Well, you know what? If you know what you're doing, if you know what you're doing, Virginia doesn't either.
Well, you can tell I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm just too damn lazy.
VPN, man. VPN.
Yeah, well, that's too much work for me.
Of course it is. Just go down to the corner and get you a penthouse. Or either that or you have all that porn you already archived.
Joel, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, man.
The tongue brush one.
First off, this ain't the 90s. I don't know if you can get penthouses anymore. Or if you can, I have no idea where you get it. I have not seen a penthouse magazine.
No. Yeah, well, or magazines, period.
Yeah. No, I see a lot of dude, we just had a discussion about magazines. I subscribed to three of them.
Yeah,
I've been hanging out in Barnes & Noble looking at the magazine section. Having a blast. Yes.
Barnes & Noble.
Good. Here comes... What do you mean, how lame?
He said quaint.
Oh, how quaint. I thought you said how lame. I was going to be, damn, that's just judgmental. Like,
Wait a minute. There's a new video on, like, a free movie thing called The King of Arcades. What is that?
Well, it's not free. You.
No.
We got to start the show.
There's a show?
Yes, yeah, there's a show. Yeah, there you go. Here, let me start the show. It's good to see you. I was just going to say Rich. Cause
I'm going to have to watch this.
It's good to see you, Joe.
I was quoting Rich, so it does make sense.
I know, that's what I meant. You got me there. So
you can bring out the old classic, Why Don't You Suck It, Rich?
Yeah, there we go. What's the episode, Dave?
1069.
Well, yeah, all day. All right, let's start the show.